We've come to the Bhajan Kutir and the Samadhi of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He spent 32 years of his 147 years, 147 years life duration right here in the island of Koladweep. I'd first like to explain the significance of this island. You heard yesterday evening from Bhakti Purushottam Swami, yes? You heard from him about the nine islands of Navadweep and their significance. So this is another one of the nine islands. This is called Koladweep. Koladweep. You'll read about it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The residents of Koladweep made up one of the seven kirtan parties of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Rath Yatra festival. And later on in our yatra here in Navadweep Dham, you'll hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returning to Navadweep Dham after he took sannyas on his attempt to go to Vrindavan. He actually came here to Mayapur for a different reason. And one of the significant reasons was performed right here in Koladweep, and we'll hear something further about that lila. So here in Koladweep, of the nine processes of bhakti, the prominent process of bhakti is pada sevanam. Pada sevanam means worshipping of the lotus feet of the Lord. And it means, therefore, at the lotus feet of the Lord are many devotees, because they're serving the Lord's lotus feet. Here, in Koladweep, one learns this very important component of bhakti, and that is submission and service unto the lotus feet of the Lord's of devotees. And in contrast, if there is some offense made against the devotees of the Lord, one offends the Lord, or one offends the lotus feet of the Lord. And in this island specifically, one may, at least Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose this place to give forgiveness unto those who had made offenses by teaching that one should approach the lotus feet of the devotee who has been offended. We'll describe these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But first, how the history of this island is that there was one in Satya Yuga, there was one Brahmana whose name was Vasudev. Vasudev Brahmana was an ardent worshipper of Lord Varahadev. And in Navadweep Dham Mahatmya, there's a very detailed description of how absorbed he was in his worship of Varahadev. And when you hear this description, you'll wonder, gee, am I really doing deity worship in my home compared to what Varahadev is doing? All day long he served his deity. In the beginning, the worship of his deity was standard procedures of worship. He, of course, would bathe his deity, and then he would decorate his deity, and the ornaments that he would decorate, the fine cloth that he would offer to the deity, the very finely, carefully prepared foodstuffs they would offer to his deity. He would offer prayers to his deity, sing songs for his deity, and in the course of the day, as the temperature would become warmer, he would sit and fan the deity with a chamara fan, and then later with a peacock fan, and all day long singing songs in glorification of Lord Varahadev. And because of that intense worship of Lord Varahadev, in whom he had deep faith, a strong, increasingly strong desire awoke in him to see that form of the Lord. And after years and years of such ardent worship, Lord Varahadev revealed his form to Vasudev Brahmana. He exhibited such a beautiful form that it was as tall as a mountain. And Rakta Varaha. There are two different Varahas, Sveta Varaha and Rakta Varaha. So he exhibited the Rakta Varaha form. And Vasudeva was overwhelmed in ecstasy. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we described during the Leela where Lord Chaitanya exhibited his Varaha form and he was offered prayers by Murari Gupta. So also Lord Varaha spoke many truths, and to Vasudeva the Brahmana he spoke many transcendental truths about the position of the personality of Godhead and all of our Vaishnava Siddhanta, that in fact he's not at all touched by the contact with the material world. Everything flows from him. Everything is maintained by his potency. It's resting in his potency, yet he at the same time remains fully transcendental. And all of our transcendental teachings, just as we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, were spoken by Lord Varahadev. And he then informed Vasudev that in coming yugas he would personally appear as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that this was his eternal place of pastimes, and that Vasudev also would appear with him. Vasudev was in great ecstasy hearing this wonderful narration from Lord Varahadev, what to speak of seeing his beautiful transcendental form. So this statement made by the personality of Godhead was declaring what the purpose of this island would be. During the time preceding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, there was one Brahmana who lived here in Koladweep, who was named Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was, like some others, vastly learned. And he was a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. And because he was vastly learned and a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, he had many, 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 many persons who would come and listen to him. And his home was here in Koladweep. So one time, Srivas Thakur, whose home we visited in Srivas Angam, was here in Koladweep, and he was passing by, and he saw the crowds of people, so he came to hear what was being spoken, and he heard that it was Srimad Bhagavatam. So he sat in the audience, and he was hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srivas Thakur went into a state of transcendental ecstasy, hearing topics about Krishna. And when he went to ecstasy, he fell to the ground unconscious. And those who were serving Devananda Pandit, they had never seen such a thing. They didn't know what was transpiring. They thought this man is just making a disturbance. So without asking their teacher, they summarily picked him up and removed him from the assembly and left him outside. Srivas Pandit was not offended. He just went on his way, continuing very happily in his devotional service to Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had not yet been born, and who is omniscient, we heard this from some of the pastimes that were narrated during the Mahaprakash Leela. Mahaprabhu was sharing with the devotees during the Mahaprakash Leela very detailed and specific events that happened in their lives even before Mahaprabhu was present. And he disclosed those facts to them. In fact, he disclosed this incident to Srivas Pandit, this offense of Devananda Pandit. So later, Mahaprabhu was walking in the same road past the house of Devananda Pandit, and he heard that he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And he made some remark. The remark was described in Chaitanya Bhagavat to the effect, "What audacity! This person who knows nothing about the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam dares foolishly to speak on the Bhagavatam's message." He made this comment to his associate and kept walking. Later, walking here in Navadvip or Koladvip, Devananda Pandit was coming from the other direction. Mahaprabhu directly confronted him. He said, "You may be a teacher of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but you do not possess one iota of piety to understand what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is its real purport? You are a dry logician who cannot taste the divine message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which can give unlimited pleasure, nor can you give that same to others. Worse, you're a terrible offender of one who does understand that essence." He rebuked him strongly, and Devananda Pandit was silent. Mahaprabhu continued on his way. Later, one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates named Vikreshwara Pandit was visiting the home of one of the devotees in Koladweep. And when he was in their home, naturally, they had Nam Sankirtan. And when the Nam Sankirtan began, Vikreshwara Pandit, just out of spontaneous devotion, not some exhibition, but with uncontrolled emotion, he began dancing. And as he began dancing, it was so ecstatic that the kirtan became stronger and stronger. And as the kirtan became more ecstatic, Vikreshwara Pandit's dancing became more ecstatic. And the kirtan from in their home went out onto the street. And Vikreshwara Pandit went out onto the street and was dancing and dancing in such ecstasy of love of God that a crowd, one can only imagine, a crowd formed around him, dancing and dancing for hours. Devananda Pandit came, and Devananda Pandit became enthralled by the exhibition of devotion of Vikreshwara Pandit. And so he rendered some service. There's some symmetry to these pastimes. He rendered some service to Vikreshwara Pandit. He made arrangements so the crowd could move behind, away, to allow Vikreshwara Pandit to freely dance in ecstasy. And this continued again for hours. And when the dancing and the kirtan ended, Vikreshwara Pandit was approached by Devananda Pandit, who invited him to come to his home so he could serve him in his home. And he offered nice prasad to Devananda Pandit, to Bhakrishna Pandit. And in this way, he did some additional service and offered some submission. And his heart, through a period of time, his heart completely changed in relation to the message of bhakti and the deliverer of the message of bhakti, particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned here, again in a few days when we're at Vidyanagar, we'll hear the detailed story of Mahaprabhu's return to Navadvip after his taking sannyas, going to Puri, taking his South Indian tour, returning to Puri, and then after some time desiring to come to Vrindavan. And he came not directly to Vrindavan, but he came first to Navadvip Dham. And when he came to Navadvip Dham, he first went to Vidyanagar, and then he came here to Navadvip or Koladvip, where he stayed at the home of one Brahmin named Madhava for 7 days. And by this time, the transcendental influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibited fully, meaning that literally hundreds of thousands of people were coming to have his darshan. And the main leela described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, for those 7 days, Lord Chaitanya was granting forgiveness to those who had made offenses at the lotus feet of his devotees. Thus the Pada Sevanam message, Lord Chaitanya fulfilled that. One of the persons who approached him directly was Devananda Pandit. And when Devananda Pandit came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chastised him severely once again, third time. This time Devananda Pandit received it with tears in his eyes and said, "I've made it this terrible offense. What is it that I can do to relieve myself of this offense?" Mahaprabhu said, "Because you've gotten the mercy of a Krishna Pandit, you're not finished. But you need to go to the lotus feet of Srivas Pandit and offer your obeisances and receive his forgiveness. Then you'll be cleansed of the sin of offending the Vaishnav." Similarly, there was one Brahmana. Brahmanas can make offenses too. One Brahmana named Gopal Chapal. Gopal Chapal was also an offender of Srivas Pandit. We didn't describe this at Srivasanga, but now we'll describe. When the community outside Srivasangan was not permitted inside to perform the kirtan, there are different groups of devotees who were very envious and criticizing the devotees inside because they had no idea what was going on. So one of those groups of brahmanas were saying what they're doing is they go inside, they get intoxicated, that's all the howling, and they have these wild orgies with improper conduct of men and women, and we should have nothing to do with these people. They claim to be Vaishnavas, but actually they're their Shakta worshippers. That's what's going on inside that, the house of Srivas Thakur. So, to disgrace or defame Srivas Thakur, he set just outside his gate all the paraphernalia for the worship of Goddess Kali, including items that a Vaishnava would never even look at, what to speak of, use in worship, and placed it in a little pedestal just by his door so everyone passing would see, oh, he's a worshiper of Goddess Kali. The next morning, after he had done this, Srivas Thakur, after performing his morning duties, came out of the gate and saw by the gate this paraphernalia for worshipping of Goddess Kali. So he called all the people, come, see. This is the real activity that we're doing. We're worshipping Goddess Kali. Just see, here's the evidence. And everybody said, no, 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 that's not possible. We know you're a pure Vaishnav. Someone has done some terrible offense. We don't accept. Then Srivas Thakur smiled and arranged for the place to be cleaned. But this offense made by Gopal Chappal ended up some days later, he contracted leprosy. And in this state of leprosy, he suffered greatly. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Koladweep, Gopal Chappal came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, those of us who were in Navadweep village in Mayapur, we had no idea of the chanting of the holy name and your transcendental glories, and we made great offenses, and I am one who have made great offense against Srivas Thakur. Please forgive me for this offense. And Mahaprabhu explained the same principle as he done with Devananda Pandit. It is not I who are to forgive you. It is the one who you have offended. You go to Srivas Pandit. Go now to his home. Beg his forgiveness. And if he is very merciful and forgives you, you will soon be cured of your disease of leprosy. So Gopal Chappal went to Srivas Thakur's home. And as he was submitting himself for forgiveness, immediately Srivas Thakur thought nothing of it and he was forgiven. And within days, Gopal Chappal was cured of his leprosy. And it goes on in Chaitanya Bhagavat, describing person after person. Hundreds and thousands of persons came. And very freely, the most magnanimous Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave them all. Another one was Gopal Chakravarti. Gopal Chakravarti had seriously offended Haridas Thakur. During a visit that Haridas Thakur had made in the hometown of Raghunath Das Goswami, where Hiranya and Govinda Majumdar, his father and his uncle, were hosting Haridas Thakur. We'll hear more when we visit Puliya of this particular pastime. But he was very seriously offended by Gopal Chakravarti, who was so upset that this Muslim-born person is being given such honor as if he's some kind of learned scholar in our Vaishnav circle. What does he know of our Vaishnav scriptures? So he spoke some strong words of offense to Haridas Thakur. The words you're speaking are not true. And if you cannot, unless you can prove them to be true, I will cut off your nose. Everyone was so horrified to hear this learned, gentle Brahmin speaking in such a harsh way. And Govinda and Hiranya Majumdar had him removed from the assembly and sent outside. And Gopal Chakravarti also, as he had said that I will cut off your nose, he got leprosy, including his nose, and his very beautiful nose melted along with his fingers. He had no fingers left, just stubs from this offense against Haridas Thakur. So for years and years and years, he suffered until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned here to Koladweep. And when Gopal Chakravarti came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he scolded him strongly. You have no sense of who is elevated and who is not elevated. You have become so proud because of your birth in a family of brahmanas, but you have no qualification to actually distinguish who is elevated and who is not elevated. And therefore you've made such a horrible offense. To offend a devotee of the Lord is very, very serious. And so you've gotten this reaction by the arrangement of the Lord Himself. If you want relief from this pain of your leprosy condition, you must fall at the feet of Haridas Thakur and beg His forgiveness. Same principle was instructed again and again under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the offenders were forgiven. There is the worship of Varaha Dev is very prominent here in Koladweep as a manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form, most merciful form, who gave forgiveness to so many others. There are two things we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that are most prominent in Gaura Lila or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings that he was intolerant of. He was very liberal, very kind, very merciful, but very strict in the areas of the conduct of the sannyas ashram and the offenses against the devotees of the Lord. Now, nobody here besides myself is in the sannyas ashram, so you don't have to worry about that one. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict with Junior Haridas that just by his staying longer at the house of Malani Devi where, so he could receive some nice items to present for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his eating. He just went for that purpose. He went in the purpose of service. But Mahaprabhu was so strict because he stayed longer than necessary. This Chota Haridas is banished from my association forever. Tell him never to come before me again. So Chota Haridas received very severe punishment from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after 1 year of that punishment, he couldn't continue his life any longer. He gave up his life. So strictness in the performance of the duties of sannyas was exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He himself, personally, very strict, very strict, is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not receive obeisances from women except from a distance. They were not even allowed to come close to him or speak directly. Now, Srila Prabhupada and established as a sannyasi a different standard, but we know from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's biographies, very, very strict. Very, very strict. So that he would not be criticized, or that in the future others might imitate in the wrong way that sannyas life means something other than sannyas life means. And the other area of devotional service that he was very strict with was offense at the feet of devotees. There are leelas that Mahaprabhu enacted that exhibit this in a very strong manner. One of them was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chastising his mother for a seeming offense to Advaita Acharya. You remember when we visited the house of Shivasangan, how close was the little residence of Advaita Acharya, Advaita Bhavan, Shivasangan, just along the gate, Advaita Acharya's Bhavan. So, Vishvarup, the elder brother of Nimai, he was of age that he could go and hear from Advaita Acharya, while Nimai was just a small boy and would stay at home. Vishwarup heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Advaita Acharya every day, every day, every day, every day. And hearing from Advaita Acharya Srimad Bhagavatam every day, he became fixed in transcendental devotion to the personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that at one point, Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi were considering, this boy, Vishwarup, he's becoming too much attached to Krishna. If we wait longer, maybe he won't accept family life. We should hurry up and get him married. And so they were searching for a suitable wife for Vishwarup. But those who are men know how these things go, and the ladies know how these things go too. Vishwarup heard about the arrangements his parents were making for him, and without speaking a word to his mother or his father, he left home to take sannyas. And when Vishwarup left home to take sannyas, Mother Sachi put the blame on Advaita Acharya. She didn't say it, but you know how those things go. You don't say it, but you feel it. And it's not right. So she was harboring this seed of feeling ill towards Advaita Acharya. Because of him, my son has left home and has taken sannyas. Nimai comforted his mother and said, my dear mother, I know that you're feeling great loss. I'm your only son remaining. I will stay with you. So with that reassurance from Nimai, it was pacifying to the heart of Mother Sachi. Sometime later, Jagannath Mishra left the world. After that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, received initiation from Ishwarapuri, then returned to Navadvip through transcendental arrangements of the personality of Godhead. Saw Krishna at Kanai Natashala, came back as a married man. He was then married to Vishnupriya. And in his home, as a devotee, Mother Sachi was also in anxiety. My son Nimai, he likes the association of Advaita Acharya too much. Who knows? Maybe he'll also leave home. So she began speaking in not just thinking, but then speaking. Criticism of Advaita Acharya. She said, he's been given the wrong name. His name is Acharya, but he's acting in such a way he's breaking the religious principles where a son should stay and maintain and care for his mother. So he's not to be called Acharya. And he shouldn't be called Advaita either, because he's involved with this duality. So he has the wrong name. She was very unhappy, speaking ill against Advaita Acharya. And that news came to the ear of her son, Nimai Pandit. When he heard this, he became transcendentally angry. And he came running full speed to his home, to his mother's home, and was ready to, with his arm raised, to hit Mother Sachi. And everyone was, you can't do that. This is your mother. And you're the most dear son of your mother. You're the lover of mothers, and she's the mother of the universe. How can you do this? Please stop. Meanwhile, they went to get Advaitacharya. He said, the only way that she can be forgiven is if Advaitacharya, if she falls at Advaitacharya's feet and begs forgiveness from Advaitacharya. So Advaitacharya was brought quickly to the home of Jagannath Mishra. And a whole scene where Nimai is so angry and Mother Sachi is so afraid. And Advaitacharya is being told that he has to receive the obeisances and give forgiveness to Mother Sachi. And Advaitacharya holds his head and says, how is this possible? She's my mother. She's the mother of all mothers, and she's the mother of the universe, and she's the goddess of fortune herself practically. How can she fall at my feet? I fall at her feet and beg her for forgiveness for any wrong thing that I've done that has put her in such a predicament. So Mother Sachi very transcendentally reached out and touched the lotus feet of Advaitacharya and placed the dust of his lotus feet upon her head and begged for his forgiveness. With this, the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately changed and turned to all the devotees and said, even you're someone that who was so dear to me as my mother. Never make an offense against the devotees of the Lord. This I cannot tolerate. I will not tolerate. My devotees never make offense against devotees of the Lord. Very strong lesson. An extreme circumstance enacted as a lila by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that we can all understand how serious, how grave, how punishable offense against the devotees of the Lord is considered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here, in Koladweep, this is a place where we can beg forgiveness. If you offer one sincere prayer this whole 9 days that we're here, make it here. That we be forgiven for our offenses against the devotees, and we learn the lesson enacted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, that we should never in the future make any offense to any devotees. Never thinking, it's one of the offenses, it's the compound offense to think, oh, this is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So-and-so is a very elevated devotee. So surely they'll take no offense. Or another one is, because they're chanting Hare Krishna, surely they'll be very merciful and very kind and give their forgiveness. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this compounds Vaishnava Parad with Nama Parad. So we shouldn't do that. What we should do is be very, very cautious. Better to err on the side of caution in this regard. Do not offend the devotees of the Lord. And we here in this place, at the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Jagannath Das Babaji, we can pray to the Holy Dham and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that our devotional service not be impaired or harmed or even destroyed by Vaishnava Parad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.